DJ Double here, and today my very special guest on the show goes by the name of BJ the Chicago Kid.
Yes, sir. What's up, brother?
Welcome, man.
Good, man. Thank you for having
me. How's things?
Good, good, sweet. Just ate some Nando's. Feeling good. Yeah.
Local delicacy.
Yes, sir.
So, when it comes to BJ the Chicago Kid, is it true that a lot of your early catalogue was made up from songs that you'd written for other artists that they didn't use?
So absolutely.
You were just like, let's bring them all back in.
Yeah. That was the birth of BJ the Chicago Kid as an artist. I always knew that I would be an artist. I never knew when, never had a time frame. But the rejection of those songs from other artists were the beginning of and the start of my...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because, especially when it comes to like R&B, a lot of artists that have become so big now, kind of, that's how they got their breakthrough. Like Neo, for example, right? Yeah. Let Me Love You for Mario.
Very much so.
Even Ty Dolla Sign, when Loyal broke for Chris Brown, that put a lot of the spotlight onto what Ty's doing and stuff, and obviously with yourself as well. Do you think that's like, is that the most certain path for like a songwriter that wants to become an artist? Do you think that's the way to do it?
I think it happens many different ways for many different people. I would say, whatever your situation is, I would say that I would tell that person to stay in it, and the light would shine on where on what you should grow next, you know, and how it's going to grow. I would just say, keep watering the plants, man.
Keep watering the plants.
Yeah, because it happens many different ways, and for me to say it happens one way is it would be totally false.
Yeah.
So I never knew how it would happen. I knew that I knew when the moment came. I recognized it when I saw it, but man, it's a thing that kind of evolves into its own thing. Yeah,
the music industry is like so oversaturated with new artists and songs and stuff coming in. Especially like as a DJ, I get sent so much stuff in a week.
I can imagine. Yeah.
So what I find is dope is like when I listen to an artist that suddenly like or over time becomes big. When I remember the first time that I heard that artist, like it's always a moment. And with you, it's a really cool story because I actually did a show with Redman and Method Man.
Sick! I love both of them.
And I was chatting with them and I did an interview with them after the show. And Redman had, he was playing some music and then he asked me, he's like, oh, have you heard this yet? And he played me Studio.
Wow.
So this is like just as it was breaking out. So for me, that was the first time.
Redman played you Studio?
Bro, yeah. He had it on repeat as well. Like he was like,
that's
you need to hear
sick.
This.
You know, Redman is like, he's a big homie, you know? Anytime we see each other, we have a little... session and kick back and laugh, man. It's a really, really, really solid brother, man.
He schooled me on it, bro.
That's love. Thanks, Red. You know that's love.
My perception of you in the UK is like, that's the song that really broke you out, especially for me, because it's the first time I've ever heard of you.
It is, very correct.
Would you say like in the States, was it the same? Was Studio the one that really brought you to the mass market?
Yes, on as far as radio and just on a commercial side of things, yes, very much so. I think... probably one of Schoolboy Q's biggest songs as well. Yeah, we share that moment, yeah.
Yeah. When you have a moment like Studio, do you feel under pressure to now follow it up? Because it's like, you've done a lot of groundwork, then you have a moment. And it was a number one
no
in America,
pressure.
Right?
Yeah. No pressure. I think you just continue to make music. I think to get caught up in numbers and things like that as a creator can definitely change how you create.
Yeah.
Sometimes in a negative side. And it's hard to tell where it's going until you put something out that flops, you know? Best bet is to not think of pressure and just make music like you made music when you was making Studio.
Yeah.
I think perspective is the thing that can make or break anyone, not just in the music industry, but just in life. How you look at things, your perspective, the position you're looking at it from can make or break anything.
Every time I see your name, like, in the press or if someone from like a big outlet's writing about you, they always like Grammy nominated artist BJ the Chicago Kid, or it's always a mention of like the Grammy nominations. I was interested to know for you, like, do you care about the accolades and like the awards and stuff?
I appreciate it. I'm grateful to be recognized. But I think it comes with the territory, I think. You have to say world champion Chicago Bulls, or you have to say world champion Los Angeles Lakers, or you know, it comes with the territory of winning something. And I think it's nothing bad about it, because when you do something bad, you're labeled, as a criminal or whatever the case may be. Right. So I accept it. I appreciate the name change.
Yeah. And so are you pushing to be the Grammy winner, DJ? Is that the goal?
I mean, I always want to make incredible music, and if that's what they see comes with it, yes. Mm-hmm. Everybody would love a Grammy, I think, but I don't get too caught up in it, man. I think to get caught up in this, like, I don't feel like I'm human anymore, you know?
Right, yeah.
It keeps it natural. It keeps it beautiful for me. I'm able to enjoy a lot of more moments than feel like the pressure of a Grammy. So, no pressure, man. It's just the fact of staying consistent. That's our goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we break down the music, I want you to tell me about your audition for the Equalizer movie.
Comedy, man. This is my very first movie audition.
Yeah.
I had the paper for maybe about 2 days.
Right.
Really like a day and a half. Uh-huh. I'll keep it honest. I had the paper for maybe a day and a half. The night before, I stayed up all night, like really looking at these lines, and I studied them and did what I did. But when I got there, dude, it was just like a whole nother world from the music industry.
Yeah.
It was a very beautiful moment for me because I got to see what I'm good at and what I can be better at as well.
Uh-huh.
But when I got there, man, all the guys that was going for that part was so nervous and just, like, I was like, yo, control, where's the woosahs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everybody was like, one guy was pacing the floor, another guy was talking to himself, somebody else was yelling on the phone. It was just like, yo, like, it was just a total different world from the music industry. But I went in there and I read the part and I think I sucked. Yeah, I think I sucked.
At least you're honest.
Yeah, I think I did a terrible job. She said, just relax. It's just me, you, another girl in the camera. Just relax. I was like, yeah, great. This is the perfect thing. It's going to make me relax. Yeah. And I read it again. I did a lot better, but I just think that it made me respect the movie world.
Right.
For what it truly is. It is not the same thing, and it takes just as much hard work, uh-huh. Dedication, focus, time.
Yeah.
It takes all of that, and I totally, it's almost like hopping on the bull for the first time. You respect that bull when you get off, don't you?
Right.
If you ride in a rodeo, you hop on that bull, you're going to respect that bull by the time you get off, and I respect the bull for sure.
Yeah.
I definitely have some plans in taking acting classes very soon, and give another shot. Hopefully you'll be seeing me on the silver screen pretty soon.
1123.
Yes, sir.
That's
yes,
the
sir.
Album. So that's how we pronounce it, right?
Yes.
It's not like 1123.
Yeah, 1123. You did an amazing job at that. You solid with that.
Yeah, yeah, good. I see. I got the part, man.
You got the part, man.
And I hear that's your birthday.
Yes, sir. November 23rd. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so if he's in England, it'll be 2311. We write dates around the other way around.
Still would mean the same thing. I get it, though. I get it.
Why did you not wait until 23rd of November to drop the project?
I feel like I've made him wait long enough.
Okay, yeah.
It's been some time since I released In My Mind, and we really thought of a cool way to still kind of have both, but yet give him something very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Even before 1123, we gave him the opening ceremony, three amazing songs that were going to be on 1123.
Right.
But we decided to give you something even sooner. We always kind of paid attention to the time lapse there's been, but yet we've still been working in between those times. So we would sit time aside to build up 1123, and we'll get a call to go somewhere very important that we definitely would love to be a part of. So
right.
It's kind of hard to continue to do both, but we can't say no. So we delegate ourselves to properly to what, you know, to what it causes,
mm-hmm.
and still get the job done at the same time.
Yeah. Listening through it, man, like feel the vibe,
mm-hmm.
was when I heard it, it really reminded me of like Joe kind of in the late 90s, that kind of
okay,
sound.
Okay,
you know what
okay.
I mean? And it made me actually like, it got me thinking about your songwriting career and stuff, because you wrote stuff for Joe in the past as well.
Yeah, right? I wrote a song for Joe, yeah.
And it made me actually think, like, obviously you wrote for quite a few people. Do you feel like your songwriting and the work you put in as a writer kind of laid the foundations and like braced people for your style now?
Absolutely, most definitely. It was every song I put out before, In My Mind, I believe, was a small sample of what was soon to come. There were hors d'oeuvres, so to speak, you know,
the
hors d'oeuvres for the main meal. Yeah, and I'm just happy that they love the hors d'oeuvres, so I really knew that they would love the main meal. That was kind of how I perceived it.
Mm-hmm.
And we love creating, not just the music, the videos. We love the whole process, and we take our time and we take our good with the bad and make the best of it.
There's a lot of different moods through the album.
Yes, absolutely.
Which I liked, because sometimes, especially now, where, like I said earlier, where there's so, the music industry is so oversaturated with stuff, I feel like when projects are too much on the same vibe all the way through, it kind of gets a bit monotonous. But
yeah, I almost feel like one long song.
Yeah, it basically does. How difficult was it for you to pick the tracklist for the album?
That part is always a very time-consuming process. Because, I mean, every album we have far, far, far more songs than we are putting on the project. So, I mean, it's various stages of myself, my manager, my A&R, my brother. I play the stuff for friends. I try to exercise all of the ears around me and the ears that I trust. And we begin to kind of assemble this thing together. Some songs just feel good naturally on the playlist behind each other. And you just know, yo, this has to be like this.
Yeah.
So some things kind of make room for themselves. And then some things we kind of figure out and place and puzzle together and kind of create a vibe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite track from the project?
Today. Yeah, they change
it. Changes, yeah.
Yeah. Today it'd probably be Can't Wait and Get Away.
Can't Wait. I like the second half of Can't Wait. I mean, I like the whole tune.
Yeah. What makes you like the second half?
I like the second half. It was kind of unexpected. I was just listening to it like...
It is.
I was listening to the project and I wasn't monitoring the track list. So when the second half came in, I just assumed it was the next song.
Ah, that's sick.
And then so when I went to look up what it was called, it was Can't Wait. But Can't Wait was a different vibe. I was just listening. So I had to, check. What made you think to...
When it picks up. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
What made you think to change that second half of the track instead? Because it's like a completely different
mood. Yeah.
Why not just make that a second song?
Because I think we're in a very creative world. And I'm a big fan of hip-hop as well. It's just kind of a cool thing that we do sometimes when we get in our vibes. And we want to kind of play with the palette of the people, you know? You know, when you buy fragrances at the store, or you're shopping for fragrances at the store, they have this little glass thing of coffee beans, right? And that coffee bean is meant to refresh your nose before the next fragrance. So you're not mixing these fragrances in your mind. You can totally clear the palate and then come back with something new and understand what you're smelling or what you want to buy. That's simply what that song is. It's a coffee bean.
Right.
Yeah, we have everything is structured and planned out, so strategic to the point where these questions mean everything to me, because you actually get what I do when I make that small maneuver and come back.
Or
a little crossover. I appreciate that.
I love the analogies, bro.
Thanks,
the
man.
Coffee bean, you know. Amazing. When you make a project like this, and like you said, everything's planned and you're doing things very strategically, do you feel free to make the music that you want to make, or are you kind of tailoring it to what you know the fans respond well to?
I do a little bit of both, honestly. I believe and I trust that some of the same shows and concerts that my fans go to, I'm in the same building sometimes. As a fan, wanting to see the artist, not coming up there to pop bottles with the artist and kick it, but I'm a fan of the music as well, and I trust what I know, and I trust what they know while I'm creating music, and hopefully they still understand how these dots are connected. I believe that with all of my heart, with all of my soul. You know, the concerts I go to, I'm not the only one there, you know? And I really believe in that, and I really, I hold on to that. I trust that.
Did you feel like any of the songs on this were a risk?
Not necessarily a risk, but I think it's always a more expansion of who BJ is. Anybody that heard Studio will probably hear Jeremiah from In My Mind and questions the same. Yeah, so I've never waited to give you ever other elements of me. And I hope that, you know, questions like this don't confuse them on that. Because everything is strategically done.
Yeah.
I mean that. I mean that with all of my heart. So there's no rolling the dice to see what's going to go on. Everything you hear me vocally comfortable on. You don't hear me trying to do anything. I do everything full 100%. And I put it on the line. You know, I leave it there. I just think it's so many artists that can't do more than one thing. And that's what confuses
the
listener. But nah, man, you're still looking at a very authentic unicorn.
You make it look easy as well, man.
Nah, you're still looking at a unicorn. Unicorns do exist, man. In a world full of horses, you know?
In your comfort zone. Players Ball. Is that your first time working with Rick Ross?
On my stuff, yes. We have a song with Absol that came out amazing for Absol's last album.
Oh, okay, right.
And it probably is maybe one more that was like through a feature of another person. But I've always wanted to work with Rick Ross. I've been a fan of him since the gate. from the jump of the first time I heard anything. Kool & Dre, shout out to them too, man. They are big instruments in making this song possible. And I couldn't ask for a better feature, honestly, man. Ross is Ross, man.
Yeah.
He's a very soulful rapper, and I'm a soul R&B artist, so I think it fits. His style naturally fits my style. If you just randomly picked any one of his songs and pick one of mine, I think it'll still have a nice little vibe behind each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes it effortless for us. Yeah.
Most def, man. Mm-hmm. The other people on the album as well, like Anderson .Paak.
Yeah,
for me,
yeah.
That made sense because I kind of put you guys both just mm-hmm. in the same pocket. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? So, like, I did enjoy hearing that. Buddy, J.I.D., mm-hmm. Kent Jams, Offset as well. Mm-hmm. That for me was the curveball. That was mm-hmm. like a very unexpected one.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, it worked.
It works.
Did you have much direction in what he did? Like, because it felt like you really brought him into your world, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think we share the world of that song. And I think that's what makes it amazing. I think a lot of time we put our attentions to the wrong things. And that's kind of how the title of the song begins to be very, very, very vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a cool move, and plus we were label mates as well
right.
at Motown. I mean, it's just a very effortless type of thing. But I think to BJ fans, I think they're always loving a more up-tempo record. They know I can do the slow, vibey soul stuff. So I, again, choose to always want to give them something more.
Yeah.
Always want to give them more. But then you have songs like Time Today that can still satisfy the one that may not be playing the Offset song.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
proper
always a balance.
Jams,
yeah,
right,
it's a vibe for everything. But I think it just kind of it's not fair to the artist if you don't like you don't question Kanye for working with Rihanna and Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you question what I do?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, Paul McCartney is the furthest thing from hip hop. So I think the same open mind you have one artist, you better have with me. You
yeah.
have to. I think it's disrespectful when you don't. Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
Like, we speak of the Grammy nominations, so give me all of the credit that comes with somebody of that weight.
100%.
That's all I want.
I like that.
Don't close your brain for me.
Yeah. Who would be your ultimate collaboration? So, like, dead or alive, if you could have anyone ever on a record?
Dead or alive, one person?
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you worked together before, right?
Yeah.
What was it? It was a tour. Was it a tour?
No, not a tour. I sang on The Keys of Life.
Right, okay.
I have a plaque for that, actually. It's pretty amazing.
Congratulations.
We did some work with him and Kirk Franklin together on one of the songs on there. But I've sang background for Stevie before at a couple shows, but not like for a tour.
Right.
But Stevie is the living goat.
Okay.
The living goat.
The goat of goats.
Yeah, of all goats.
All goats.
Yeah.
In terms of this album, like putting it out, do you have any expectations? Like you said, you don't really concentrate too much on the numbers and the streams.
Yeah,
and stuff.
That's for the label, man. I'm already working on more songs.
Yeah.
I never stop. That's not my.
So it's just get it out.
Just get it out. Music is my therapy. This isn't a job for me. This is something I love to do. So if I go so long without creating songs, you need to put me in a straitjacket, probably. You know, this is not the life that I live. I'm a studio rat.
Mm-hmm.
So without songs, there are no meetings, there are no interviews, there ain't nothing but a bunch of bills.
Yeah.
In my world, that's because this is what I do for a living.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You must work, you know.
How do you measure success?
I don't, honestly. I don't measure success. It's times where I had a lot of money in my pocket, but I still saw myself one step away from the homeless guy I walked past.
Right.
So I don't, it's very weird, but I don't, man, that's a very thin line, and people look at it like it's very thick.
Yeah,
but that line is so thin,
especially in music.
Yeah, because I mean, even in having money and having assets, it's still upkeep. So you could buy a house, but who's going to cut the lawn? Who's going to keep the lights on? It's upkeep. Yeah, this big house, you have a maid. Now who's going to clean up? You get home, you work, you go now, you tire. Yeah, it's upkeep.
Yeah.
For this car, there's maintenance. There's upkeep. So success, people that measure success off of money. That's the smallest way you can measure success, if you ask me. Success is based off of a lot of the other different things to me besides finances, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dope. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the results of the album. Obviously, I already heard it, so yeah. I'm going to say I'm looking forward to the album. I'm listening to it already, yeah. But
11/23,
seeing
July
26, charting,
baby.
Seeing it get out there, man. So mm-hmm. 23rd of November, and that's worldwide release, I guess. Right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Anywhere you want to be, I'll be there.
Sick. DJ Double here with BJ the Chicago Kid.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
Well, yes, sir.